Meet me outside. Meet me outside. Meet me outside on my Author Michael Eric Dyson describes rapper DMX's music as infusing raw black pain, personal suffering, and the incurable quest for Christian salvation. After a decades-long battle with drug addiction, DMX died on Friday at the age of 50. Our next guest says an entire generation owes DMX for his lesson in resilience. Justin Tinsley is a culture and sports writer for The Undefeated, and he joins us now. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So the height of DMX's career really spanned just a few years in the late 90s and early 2000s, but that height really cemented his place in pop culture. The connection to his audience was instant and constant. And you write in your latest article that DMX, in one way or another, is a portal into our own lives or many of our family's darkest secrets. I was really struck by that. Can you say more?
The best thing about DMX was that he never tried to hide who he was, where he came from, and what he experienced. And I believe that level of transparency connected with so many people. Of course, there's no one way to talk about DMX, but when you talk about his life, you talk about the things that he experienced and the suffering that he had, both self-inflicted and both societal. So many people understood the plights and the demons that he was battling, and it made them embrace their own or maybe their family's own in a way that they hadn't before.
One of the flashpoints in his life that he talked in great detail about was his introduction to drugs. When he was 14 years old growing up in New York, he was introduced to drugs by a mentor who gave him a blunt laced with crack. That not only propelled his addiction, but you write that he never recovered from that betrayal, which we hear in his song, Look Through My Eyes. What I'd like to do is turn my head like I don't know, but it seems like I've been called on the show, so I'm a show. And if you've never met me, then you've no right to judge me. DMX spoke so openly about his pain and trauma. And you know, we have regular conversations about this now, but it was really significant, right? Back in the 90s and early 2000s to be this open and transparent when we were vilifying people for having a drug addiction.
Absolutely. You mentioned the conversations of mental health awareness. And if you listen to hip hop, really since its inception, you know, these issues have always been addressed, but in many ways, they've been falsely labeled as inner city, like ghetto stories. And this is where their anger comes from. Why are they so angry? Well, they're angry because when you speak about your stories, in a lot of ways, society points it right back at you. It's like, why are you doing this? Well, I'm trying to explain why I'm like this, but you need to listen to me. And I just hope society can really understand that, like, within the music is the cry for help. And within the cry for help, I hope we respond in more progressive ways than we've done in the past.
I want to talk to you more about that cry for help and listening to that cry for help. But I want to bring up the joy for a moment. I remember a few years ago, a photo was circulating of DMX laughing, and people were so happy to see this photo. I mean, it went viral. Recently, mm-hmm. We actually watched him dance and be so joyful with Snoop Dogg during a versus battle. You write that in these moments, he looked to be basking in the joy that he deserved, not just as a hip-hop icon, but as a man.
Indeed. He was a man who operated in so much joy. Like, I actually randomly spoke to DMX on the phone one time, one of my fraternity brothers, and we were actually talking about this last week, but he was at some place and DMX was there, and he randomly called me and put me on the phone with DMX. And I asked him how he was, and he was like, man, I'm just so happy, man. Like, if my music and my pain can help another person find light, then I will have lived a good life. And that has always stuck with me.
Justin, as you know, shortly after DMX was admitted to the hospital and before his death, we heard from many folks who were saying, basically, maybe folks in the music industry didn't do enough to help DMX. Everyone knew he had a drug addiction. But then there were a lot of people who have also weighed in to say anyone who has loved a person suffering from drug addiction understands that sometimes it is an impossible challenge to pull an addict out of despair. Basically, it's not for trying. What lessons are you taking away from DMX's life and his ultimate death?
It's about how you treat people, about how you make space for people, about how, like, when you make space for people, you make them feel loved and you make them feel necessary. And in terms of having a loved one battling addiction, it gets difficult to try to pull that person out of that black hole. But oftentimes the only weapon that they have is their own resiliency. It's about empowering those people. Like, this isn't you. You can fight. You only you can get out of this, but I'm here for you. We have to be more proactive than reactive when it comes to situations like this.
Justin, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a true honor and blessing. Thank you so much.
Justin Tinsley is a culture and sports writer for The Undefeated, and we'll link you to his piece at hereandnow.org.